start acting like a conquering Messiah, right? Judas may have been thinking, well, if I put Jesus in a position where his life is in danger, where they're going to snuff him out, he's going to suddenly rise up and knock down those Romans, destroy each and every one of them. So could it be that Judas sold out Christ, at least in part, because he replaced God's intentions with those of his own? Could it be? See, this seems to be supported by the regret you see in Judas, right? When Christ is being sent to the cross, the Bible says Judas was filled with regret. He went back and gave back the 30 pieces of silver. He said, this is blood money, right? He said, I regret what I did. I regret what I did. So you can see that Judas was filled with regret. He returned the money that was betrayed to him. He ultimately hung himself. But what we need to see is that Judas missed the bigger picture. God had greater plans than what Judas could really understand. See, Judas missed that Jesus was doing something far greater than simply conquering the Romans. He was conquering Satan, and he was conquering the powers of darkness. He was conquering sin and every effect of sin. He was conquering death and disease and poverty once and for all. So it seems that Judas missed God's intentions for the Messiah. Jesus was here to provide eternal redemption for all who would accept him throughout all of history, but Judas could only picture some sort of earthly redemption for Israel. He missed God's intentions in sending the Messiah. So what can we glean from this today? What can we pull from this today? It is this: we must be careful to clearly understand God's intentions and come into alignment with them. We must clearly understand God's intentions, and we must bring ourselves into alignment with them. We must understand the Father's purposes in sending Christ Jesus, the Messiah, and we must dedicate our lives to seeing those purposes fulfilled. Now, here's the thing. If you would have that conversation with anybody in the church today, I'd bet that every single one of them would say, well, of course, that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. But I want to ask us today, are we really? Because I believe God's purposes that are revealed in the Word are actually far greater and far more glorious than what many in the modern church are willing to believe. So here's what I want to do. I want to challenge all of us today to look at the Word of God rather than the world surrounding us to understand God's intentions. Because all of creation is groaning out and crying out and waiting for a generation to arise who grasps who they are and what they are truly called to do. All of creation is groaning out right now, crying out for a generation to arise who forms their theology and belief system from God's word and not what they see on the evening news. So I believe far too many in the church today, they've lost faith. They've been beaten down, and they've adopted a small and weak mindset and small thinking and small dreaming, and it's led to the church making a small impact in our world. So let me take a few moments. I want to look at a few things that I believe clearly define God's intentions. Perhaps the clearest is by starting with the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer, right? On earth as it is in heaven. That's the crux of it. So Jesus tells us in the Gospels to pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what I want us to grasp today. This isn't just a prayer to be repeated mindlessly. It's not some sort of good luck thing that you just repeat. This prayer is all about God laying bare his intentions for this world. If somebody says, what are God's intentions for this world? I say, look at what Jesus told us to pray for. Look at what Jesus told us to pray and believe for, and he told us to believe that God's kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, that prayer is saying that we should dedicate ourselves and dedicate our lives to seeing God's will increasingly expressed through the coming of his kingdom to this earth, that the inferior reality of earth will be displaced by the superior realities of heaven. The greater things of heaven are supposed to be called down by the people of God and lived out by the people of God on this earth. And here's the thing, Jesus would not tell us to pray for something that the Father is not willing to give. And so if Jesus says to pray for the kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth, even as it is in heaven, then that means that God is willing to answer that prayer. And he's willing to do that through a people who believe and press into it. The word tells us in 1 John 3:8 that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and that is exactly what he did. Everything we named earlier, he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he brought people back to the Father. He chased down the one, leaving the 99. He destroyed the works of the devil. And then Jesus in John 20:21 says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. In other words, the church today as his body is simply continuing the work that Christ started when he was on this earth. The body should look just like the head. The word prophesies three different times in Numbers, Isaiah, and Habakkuk, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Three different times. I guess it's there so we don't miss it, but three times he prophesies this. The word says in Isaiah 60 to arise and shine because our light has come. Jesus has come. And it says that the nations will come to that light and kings will come to the brightness of that glory. The church shining with the glory of God will be an impactful force for the world today. It's saying that if we shine with the very glory of God, the world will come to us for the answers that they're facing. The word says in Ephesians 5 that we are to be a glorious bride without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Christ rose in victory, and he's returning to marry a bride who's walking in victory too. He's returning for a bride who's glorious and without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Now, this may be challenging to some today, but I ask this question. Why do so many in the church today seem to brush off verses like this? These are straight from the Bible. This isn't my opinion. Why does the church in our day seem to have so little faith? See, many in the church today, they've lost sight of God's greater intentions for this world. They've lost sight of these intentions and these purposes that God had. Now, for a moment, let me share with you a pet peeve of mine. Is that okay? I'm going to let you into this crazy brain that, you know, as Pastor Caleb said, I run around like a chicken with my head cut off. It never shuts down, ever. It doesn't turn off, I'm telling you. I woke up at like 3:20 this morning, and my mind was already churning on like today and this and everything else. It doesn't ever shut down. But let me in, and that's probably very scary now. Now you're like, oh man, I don't know if we want to know about your pet peeve. And I apologize if this challenges some folks today, but that's what we do. So here's one of my biggest pet peeves. It's when believers completely ignore the amazing promises of the Bible that we just looked at, and instead they turn on the evening news, see the bad things happening, and say, yep, last days for sure. Jesus must be returning soon. Now, for some of you, you might be like, what? Wait a minute. What's he talking about here? So you may think I've gone off my rocker. You may be saying, well, Pastor Josh, doesn't the word say in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days there'll be perilous times and people will be boasters and proud and disobedient? So, Pastor Josh, we must be at the very end because look at all that bad stuff happening, right? That would be a valid question to ask. And you can certainly ask that question, but the problem is you can only come to that conclusion if you don't interpret Scripture correctly. Why? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at it. 2 Timothy 3, it does outline. I didn't put it up here because it's long, right? 2 Timothy 3 outlines, and it says that in the last days there'll be perilous times. People will be lovers of self. There'll be boasters, though they may post something on the wall. There'll be boasters and proud. All of those things. But here's what I want us to grasp today. Before we jump to any conclusions about that, we must understand this idea of the last days. Okay, so let's look at another scripture here. Consider with me Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 2. We all know that one. We're Pentecostal, right? That's the one you got to know. So it's Peter on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is poured out, and what does Peter say? He stands up, he quotes Joel, and he says, guys, this is exactly what Joel talked about, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. All of those amazing things. So what this tells us is that Peter and the disciples were living in a time called the last days. Follow along with me here, right? Because he says in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit. God poured out his spirit. Peter says, it's the last days. So follow along, deductive reasoning going on here. This means that any verse speaking to the challenges and difficulties of the last days, like in 2 Timothy 3, applied to the early disciples just as much as they apply to us today. Okay? I'll tell you why that's important here soon. So when Paul wrote to Timothy about the perilous times of the last days, he wasn't telling Timothy, hey, Timothy, guess what? 2,000 plus years from now, in the last days, those people, they're going to have it really bad. That's not what he was doing, but yet that's how so many people interpret that scripture. Rather, he was writing to his son in the faith, someone who he loved. Paul was getting ready. He knew he was going to be executed. These were his last words. And in 2 Timothy 3, he writes to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, don't be surprised by the challenges you face here in these last days. Now, some may say, well, doesn't that mean we are in the last of the last days? You can say that once again if you want, but there's nothing in the Bible that speaks to any of that. There's nothing that references anything along that. So you say, what's the big point? Here it is. This is why this is important. We as Christians need to stop believing the lie that the world is so much worse now than at any time in history. That the darkness is so great that we simply can't do much or that it is inevitable. See, a handful of apostles were entrusted with the gospel, just a small little group. And when Christ ascended back to heaven, and they showed what can be accomplished when believers are sold out and truly live for him. They spread the gospel and saw a great number saved. They walked in the supernatural, bringing healing and restoration, and they turned godless cities around for Christ, all in the face of a secular society and extreme opposition. See, the main difference is that they believed that they were called to change the world and that they could, so they did. And so many in the church today believe that we can't really change the world, so we don't. See, we must recognize that those verses outlining the challenges of the world, like those that we see when Paul wrote to Timothy, all of those verses that outline the challenges of the world applied to the early church just as much as they do to us today. We're not seeing anything that they didn't see. We're not walking through anything that they didn't already walk through. The challenges are no greater today than what they faced. But this is absolutely key. Don't confuse the challenges of the world with God's intentions and God's purposes for the world. Walk with me through this one because this is so important today. The challenges, the perilous things that Paul writes of, those are the difficulties, those are the challenges, but God's intentions are to see a people who rise up and overcome the world's challenges through the love, grace, authority, and power of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. If we misinterpret those verses and we think that somehow they apply more to us today, then we could very easily replace God's intentions to bring redemption with the challenges. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's this. We can actually believe bad things happening are a sign of the time rather than the things that are to be overcome by Jesus Christ. We cannot replace God's intentions with the challenges of this world. There are challenges, but God has greater intentions to overcome each and every one of those things. So like the first generation of Israelites, we remember that story, right? They came to the edge of the promised land. They had all of these amazing promises from God. They knew that the intentions of God were to bring them into that promised land. That was God's intentions. It's what he wanted to do through them. And yet they looked at the challenges of the land and they elevated those challenges over God's intentions. They elevated the challenges of the world over the intentions and the promises of God for their lives, and that generation died without receiving the promises. They died without receiving God's intentions for their lives. So the question becomes, will we be like that generation? Will we look at the challenges of this world and elevate them above the amazing promises that I read to you from the Lord's Prayer, from Ephesians, from John, all of these places, these amazing intentions that God has for the world? Will we be like the generation who's more concerned about the challenges and stood back? Or will we be like Joshua and Caleb and that next generation who understood there were challenges, but also knew that God's promises and intentions were greater and were given to overcome those challenges. Let me bring it to our modern times. The question I posed to you is, will we allow Fox News and CNN, who report only on bad things, right? Any reporter can tell you that the motto is, if it bleeds, it leads, right? Will we allow these news organizations who are only reporting on bad things 99% of the time, who aren't apt to report on good things, and who certainly aren't going to start plastering the amazing things that God is doing around the world on their news channel, will we allow them to form the basis of our theology, or will we let the promises of God's word? So many believers today, they're hanging on. They're just trying to hang on. They're waiting around for a rapture. That's an escape. And I fear that this generation of the church might be making the same mistake that Judas made by missing out on God's greater intentions or replacing them with a much smaller version. God has bigger intentions than what Judas could have realized. He had this very limited sort of view. And he said, here's what I see and here's what I think God should be doing, and so I'm going to try to force this way. But God had greater intentions, greater plans, greater promises, but he missed out on them. So what happens if we miss or misunderstand God's intentions and purposes? Well, we may not betray Christ like Judas did, but we could certainly miss out on our destiny. We could miss out on the promises of God. We could miss out on seeing those intentions for the world fulfilled. So this leads me naturally to question number two today. And I promise I won't spend as much time on this one because bellies are probably starting to growl at this point. The question number two today is this: what will be your legacy and what will be our generation's legacy? And Sister Tara, if you could come just maybe play something in the background. What will be your legacy? What will be our generation's legacy? Judas is forever known as the betrayer. You read the Gospels and time again, you see Judas the traitor, Judas the betrayer, Judas the one who betrayed Christ. But what we must realize is that every single person who lives on this earth will leave a legacy. And our generation is leaving a legacy. What will follow you? I challenge you this morning, if the story of your life was told this very day, what would it say? What impact for eternity have you been able to make? What impact for eternity has this generation that's alive on this earth right now been able to make? Everyone who walks on this earth leaves a legacy, for better or for worse, things that we will be known for. And more importantly for us as believers, we leave a legacy that will follow us into all of eternity. So with that legacy, tell the story of a life that made eternal impact. Or would it tell the story of one that made very little impact for eternity? Would it tell the story of someone who dreamed really big with God and accomplished big things for him? Or would it tell of someone who was just kind of holding on because the world was really bad? What's the legacy of our generation? Look at Judas. He's a traitor. He's a betrayer. All of these things. Look at the rest of the disciples. They were known as pillars of the church. They were known as the ones who turned cities upside down. They were known as faithful ones. Judas, nothing more than a traitor. What will we be known for? What will be the legacy of our generation? The first generation church advanced the kingdom to all the known world. They faced the same difficulties and challenges that we did. Yeah, they may have looked a little bit different, right? They may have looked a little bit different. Satan works in different ways throughout history. But they faced every bit the same difficulty that we face today, and yet they took the kingdom throughout all the known world. And since then, you can look back in church history and you can see generations that have done amazing things for God, generations of belief that have stood up for God, who have seen revival, seen great outpourings, and have impacted the world in amazing ways. But you can also study church history and find entire generations who did nothing for him. Generations who actually yielded a lot of the ground that those prior generations had fought to obtain. What will the generation who lives at this time, right now in history, be known for? when we're in heaven together someday, what will be this generation's legacy? What will follow us into eternity? So it all begins with our belief and dedication to God's intentions this morning. See, are we willing to believe for greater things? We heard the word of the Lord this morning. Are we willing to believe that that is true? Are we willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Are we willing to break out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to truly get hungry for more of God and dedicate our lives to seeing his intentions fulfilled? Man, can we let go of small thinking and unbelief in the church today? Small thinking needs to go. It's a lie of the devil. It's infected the church. Come on, he said, make disciples of the nations, and we're wondering how we can get our neighbor saved. Right? I mean, we should get our neighbor saved. We should be working to get people we work with saved. But God has these great grand plans, and the church is just thinking so small. He wants us to disciple the nations. Can we let go of small thinking today? See, what you believe matters. And what you believe will affect your life in an incredible way. It will determine how you live. And what we must realize as a church is that we'll never go further than what we believe, because faith is rooted in belief, and we will only accomplish what is done in faith. Now, a lot of people, they sort of struggle with that. They say, well, what's the difference between belief and faith? Aren't they the same thing? Is belief the same as faith? They're actually different. So I can get this for you real simple here. What's the difference between the two? Well, belief is what we think or know to be true. Faith is believing in such a manner that we step out in it. Very simply put, faith is belief in action. Faith is belief in action. Let me give you some examples. See, you can believe that Christ saves. Faith is trusting him and actually asking him to save you. Right? You can believe that Christ heals people. Faith is when you step out and start laying hands on people so that they can actually be healed. See, you can believe that God hears our prayers this morning, but faith is becoming a people of prayer who pray with passion and conviction and make it a priority. See, you can believe that God can change the world, but faith is when we actually step out of these four walls and start doing something to see it done. There's a big difference today. Belief forms the foundations for faith. Belief is the foundation for faith. Everything is received in the kingdom and accomplished through faith. So we must believe God's intentions and then step out them in faith. See, we are called to partner with Christ to see them fulfilled. We are his ambassadors. See, we cannot settle or live on cruise control anymore, but we must step up and become vigilant. Church, we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to get on our knees and seek his face like never before. This is individually and corporately. So we need to become a people of prayer who every day are away in our prayer closets, seeking after the Lord's faith. But we also must be a people who come together as a body and pray. I want to give an invitation to everyone here. We pray every single Sunday night here, seeking after God's face. I want to invite you to come out and join us in that. We pray every single week. You say, man, I can't devote that much time. That's okay. Just come out once a month. Come out once every 6 weeks. It's an invitation whenever you can come to join us in prayer. See, we should get involved in the outreaches of the church. We have VBS taking place next week. I want to challenge you to get involved in VBS. See, you can change the world by getting involved in VBS, because you may sow into a young child's life that rises up and does incredible things for God. We're going to have a community sort of picnic and outreach carnival type thing that we're doing in August right here at the church. You can get involved in that. There's going to be more information coming. See, we have to get desperate for God. We have to fill our hearts and our minds with the word of God and allow him to transform us. We have to learn to love people radically. We want to be people who love radically with no strings attached. And we must show people the same grace and mercy that God has shown us. That should be the standard of our interactions with people. The way you treat them should be the same way that God has treated you. We need to stop each and every day for the one. Man, Jesus always stopped for the one. What if every single day We got ourselves out of the busyness and the craziness of life so that we could see the one that God has put into our path. We got to learn to stop for the one. We have to cry out for the Holy Spirit's power. We need an outpouring of the Spirit once again in this land. We need to be careful to not allow any bitter root or any sin to entangle us and take hold of us so that we can walk in freedom and holiness. We have to live like Christ lived. And we must not settle until we do the works that he did. We're called to advance the kingdom and leave a legacy as a generation who entered into God's promises, not as one who settled on the edge of the promised land, but couldn't enter in due to unbelief. See, I've decided in my life that I will not betray the purposes of Christ in redeeming this world and restoring this world. And I pray that we as a body will get desperate for more of him and desperate to not merely exist, but to become a world-changing entity. See, God gives us these promises in his word to show us his intentions and his purposes so that we know what is available for us to walk in. Grasp that this morning. God gives us all of these promises in his word to show us what is available for us to walk in. It's not some pipe dream, but it's what's actually attainable in our day. And I want to see it in my day. I want to see it in my day. I want to see these promises of God's word fulfilled in my day. And I'm running as hard and as fast as I can to see as much of this fulfilled as I can. And if I don't see it, then I want to pass it off to the next generation and say, you guys take it further than we've ever been before. I want the next generation to stand on my shoulders. I want to press this thing ahead. Come on, the promises of God's word are there to show us what we can have. It's there to make us hungry for it. It's just like you go to a restaurant and you smell the smell and it starts to make you salivate and you're hungry for it. God puts these promises in his word so that we would begin to salivate and get hungry for them, so that we would get desperate for them, so that we would say, I'm not settling for just a little chicken today, but I want the T-bone steak. Are you hungry for him today? And if you don't like meat, I'm so sorry. You can get the soy burger as well if that's what you want. Are we hungry for him today? Those promises are there. He's saying, what generation is going to rise up and take hold? The early disciples said, we will. They said, God, we heard your promises and we're walking in all of them. I'm praying that this generation would arise too. So we need to get our belief system straight. We need to change the way we think so that we can change the way we act and the way we live so that we can go out and change the world. We can walk in these promises. See, I don't think we've even begun to scratch the surface of what God can do in this body and what God can do in your life and through this church. I don't believe we've even started to scratch the surface. I believe God has greater things than we've ever seen before. I believe that God could move in Emmanuel Assembly of God in a way that could shake the entire world. Why not here? Why not? Why not here? Why not Emmanuel Assembly of God? Why can't this be the next place where God just visits and pours out his spirit in such a way that it shakes the region, shakes the state, and shakes our nation? Why not here? Why not now? Why not us? But we got to get hungry for him today. Go ahead and stand to your feet this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, he is inviting you into the greatest thing that you could ever experience. He's inviting you into your destiny. He's inviting you into your calling. He's inviting you into the very plans and purposes for which he created you. So this morning, if you're not walking with Jesus, you need to make that decision for him because you're missing out. If you're not walking with Christ this morning, I would ask, and you want to come into that relationship, you want to know him, I would ask that you just come forward and see me at the end of the service. I will talk with you and walk you through that. But for us as a body, here's what I'd like to do today. I want you to kind of connect with some folks beside you. Can we believe for greater things today, church? Can we believe for greater things today? Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to spend just a minute right now praying your guts out for God to change the way we think, for God to reveal the incredible purposes he had, for God to just show us what he wants to do, for God to rise up in this church so that we can be a world-changing, nation-shaking entity. Go ahead right now. Just intercede this morning. Father, we are here this morning making a declaration of belief and a declaration of faith. Father, this morning I pray that you would just remove small thinking from your church. Lord, I pray this morning that in the lives of every person that's here, in every person in your church all around this world, that you would just begin to instill greater dreams, big dreams, world-changing dreams. Father, I pray that you would begin to speak into people's hearts their destiny and their calling. Lord, that they would begin to see themselves for who you created them to be. And Lord Jesus, we would see ourselves as a church for who you created us to be. Father, we come this morning to you, one generation. Lord, we're not baby boomers and millennials and Generation X and Generation Z. We are one generation standing here before you this morning, desperate for you to move in our midst today. We are one generation crying out, saying from the youngest to the oldest, come and do something in our day, Lord Jesus. Would you pour out your spirit on us in a fresh way? Would you pour out your power on us in a fresh way? Father, I pray that we would no longer be content to just go through the motions and play a church game, but we would become desperate to see your kingdom come and your will to be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And so this morning, Lord Jesus, we believe your word. We believe, Lord Jesus, that if we shine with the light of Christ, that nations and kings will come to that glory. So Father, shine in us and shine through us. Fill us with the fire of your Holy Spirit once again. Lord, we present ourselves as Emmanuel Assembly of God, and we cry out, God, for you to do something in our day that we cannot even imagine or fathom. Would you pour out your spirit fresh? Pour out your spirit fresh. Father, we pray for VBS next week. Lord, every child that comes into this building, may they be filled with your spirit. May they just walk in the power of God. May they encounter you in a way that they've never experienced before. May you draw children into their destiny and their calling next week. Father, as each one of us goes through our work week, goes through whatever we face this week, I pray, God, that you would use us in a supernatural way, even this week, to sow into people's lives. Lord, that we would just walk in the very power of God. Lord Jesus, that we would look just like you. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We say this morning that we believe that we can attain every promise of your word. So do it here. Allentown, PA, Emmanuel Assembly of God. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor, Lord Jesus. May you be made famous in our land and made famous through the way we live our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.